This Christmas story we're going to talk about starts way back in the Old Testament, Leviticus 12. Didn't think we'd go there, did you? But in Leviticus 12, there are some laws regarding the birth of a child, the mother, the uncleanliness thereof, and the purification necessary after such an occurrence. Is it working for me? Right, so Leviticus chapter 12, verse 4 says, "And she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying for 66 days. This is the English standard, as you're wondering. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priests at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering. He shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and then shall she be clean from the flow of her blood. This is a law for her who bears a child, either male or female." Verse 8, "And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean." That's a good Christmas story right there. But basically, the rules were for a son, you were unclean for 7 days, and then the 8th, there'd be the circumcision ceremony, and that's where they'd officially name the child, and then for 33 more days, the mother is still considered unclean. In Luke chapter 2, we find it says, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." And so it wasn't like nowadays you stay in a day or two in the hospital and they kind of kick you out as soon as they can. Whether you can walk or not, they'll kick you out. And this was a bit more complicated. There's 33 days after the 7, so there's 40 days in total. And for a girl, it would be 14 days and 66, or 80 in total. And so the rabbis taught that it was twice as many days for the female because she had the potential of being a mother herself. And so for the first 7 or 14 days after you had a baby, you couldn't do much of anything. By law, and they would then wash, but they'd be forbidden from touching anything holy or from going to the temple or the tabernacle or the synagogue or whatever until their 40 or 80 days were up. And there's all kinds of symbolism and health reasons in there. We're not going to go into that today, but when their entire time was up, they'd go to the temple and see the priest, and the mother would wash and go through this ceremony to pronounce. The priest would pronounce her clean again, and she'd be able to do everything she'd been able to do before. And so when we pick up the Christmas story, this is where Mary is. You know, Mary has gone through this. This is the story we're going to talk about tonight. She's gone through this, and it doesn't have too much to do with the story, but it's nice to have context to why things are happening. And so we're going to pick up the story after Christmas, and it's been 40 days since Jesus was born. And since the angels have showed up to the shepherds, and since Mary has laid Jesus in the manger, and now she and Joseph and Jesus, they're coming to the temple to go through this ceremony after 40 days to pronounce Mary clean again and to obey. There's another law in Exodus. It says, that's the wrong one. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both men and of beast, it is mine." And so Jesus is the firstborn of Mary, and so they're kind of killing 2 birds with 1 stone, and literally they also killed 2 birds according to the law. But they're there at the temple to have Mary pronounced as clean and to have Jesus dedicated, which is kind of funny because who he is. But it's also cool how God honors his own word. And so Luke chapter 2, it says, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses," that's what we read, "were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every man that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. You might remember that from seconds ago. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So this is one of their sacrificial offering options. And so they come to the temple. It's in Jerusalem, only about 90 kilometers or so from Bethlehem, if that's where they were still staying. And the internet and personal experience tells me that they could walk this in about 2 hours or so, which isn't too bad. And so they make this trip with a month-old baby, it's 40 days old, and they come to Jerusalem for these two ceremonies. And it's most likely that Mary would have carried Jesus on her back. That was the ancient traditional way to carry babies. They still do it in many parts of the world. They put them on their back and they tie a cloth around and tie it in the front, and they're pretty secure there. And that's probably how she would have carried Jesus. And it adds to the strenuousness, right words that I can't say, of the trip. And you know, this is 40 days after she's given birth, and this kind of adds to the whole thing. It's just a big, you know, it's not probably the easiest trip and easiest thing to do, but this is what God is asking. God has wanted from them, and He doesn't always ask or expect us to do the easiest things. Sometimes things that God asks us to do are challenging or are difficult, but it's through Mary and Joseph's obedience that we get the story that we're going to talk about. And it says in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So there's this guy named Simeon. The Bible says he's righteous and devout. And again, never underestimate the importance of being righteous or living right. Being righteous, that's what it means. Living right, devout means committed and faithful. There's something powerful about living right and being faithful. This is in a time before social media, where now we post and share everything, and if someone does something wrong, everyone knows about it because they got tagged in it, or you know, they posted it and see what everyone would say or whatever. But you know, these days you could probably very easily say one thing and do another. People did it all the time. That's why Jesus was calling them out often. You know, think of the story like David and Bathsheba. He would have got away with it except for Nathan knew about it. No one else seemed to know. And he you know, that's a pretty big deal. And he was going to get away with it, but the prophet knew. And God always sees. And so God notices when you're living right, and God sees your faithfulness, and God cares that you are devout or faithful, that you come when you can and you live for Him and the best of your ability, and when you can't, He fills in the rest. He cares about that. And we can get frustrated sometimes and feel, you know, like we're alone, like we're the only one who cares. Remember Elijah? You know, I'm the only one, God. And God was like, actually, no, there's a few hundred other guys over here, and I'm going to pair you up with one. But we can face times when it feels like, you know, why do I even bother, and why do I try to continue living this way when it seems like other people aren't and no one seems to care as much? But we can't underestimate the importance of consistent, righteous living and the power of faithfulness. And these are two things that everybody can do, but not everyone does. A lot of times in church, we focus on the miraculous, we focus on the big show or the Sunday service or the big event, the camp meeting or whatever, the Christmas concert. You know, we had more people last Sunday morning than we've had at any service since we've been here. That was pretty cool, but that was a big event. That's not the normal thing, and now we got a midweek and a fraction of the people are here. You know, there's something, you know, we kind of focus on the big things sometimes. And there's one thing that I've learned in my life, that it all starts with faithfulness, and it all starts with living right, and all of that, you know, starts with dedication and commitment to God. And before anything to happen in our lives, the Spirit of God moves on this man, Simeon, the Holy Ghost, it says, long before it's poured out in the book of Acts and the upper room. And Simeon is righteous, and he's devout, and he's waiting, or you could say he was patient, if you will. Three things that we need to be in order to see God work mightily in our lives. And yes, I know He can show up whenever He wants and speak to whoever He wants, but he also is asking of us these three things. If you can be anything, you should be faithful. If you can do anything, you should live right. If you can be anything, you should be patient. And when we get out of line on any of these things, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. When we try to get ahead of God and we get impatient with him, he's taking too long and I'll deal with this myself. Or if we are unfaithful or we sin, right? You know, that's when things start to unravel. So if we can do these three things, I think we'll be okay. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they go to the temple and we meet this guy named Simeon, and he's righteous and he's devout, and the Bible says he's waiting on God. And most people assume he was a priest, but the Bible doesn't say that. That's another one of those things we add to the Christmas story. All kinds of details that aren't in the Bible, like the donkey Mary supposedly rode on, or the number three with the wise men, or all these other things. So some say that he's a priest because they say that he was a priest that was officiating the ceremony. Some say he was an old man. It doesn't say that either. There's a tradition, the Orthodox Church, Eastern Orthodox Church, that says that Simeon had been one of the 72 translators of the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament translated into Greek. As he hesitated over the translation of Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceived." He was going to change it to woman, and an angel appeared to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen Christ born of a virgin. And that's just tradition, that's just the story or a legend. That's where the kind of the stories come from. But that would make him well over 200 years old at the time of the meeting described in Luke, and therefore miraculously long lived. But again, this is nothing in the Bible. I'm not saying this is how it is, this is where the stories come from. It's just a tradition, but I think some of these things are interesting, but they're not things that you should preach, so I don't know why I told you that. But we're going to go with what the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't say any of that. The Bible, you know, has never shied away from letting us know if someone was old. You know, Elizabeth and Zacharias, you know, the same story. It mentions their age. It doesn't say anything about Simeon. Doesn't shy away from letting us know if someone's a priest or anything pertinent to the story. And so I like to think that he wasn't a priest. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I like to think he wasn't a priest because God can show up and speak and talk to people who aren't priests. In the story of Mary and Joseph, if that tells us anything, it's that. God can show up and speak to anyone. Shepherds in the wilderness, Mary and Joseph and all that. And so it says in verse 26, as it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God spoke to this guy at some point and told him that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Messiah or the Christ, which is the same thing. And so people generally assume that he was old because you know how God likes to make us wait. Right. But the main point was that God had spoken something to Simeon through his spirit because he'd been faithful and because he'd been righteous. God had given him a word through the Holy Ghost. And God still speaks to his people. And he still impresses things on our hearts. And he still confirms his word and he still moves. And some of us have felt that at times in our life. And we've been faithful and we've been righteous, and we live for God some for a very long time, and maybe you've been given a word from God, and through prayer and through reading the Bible, or maybe even the gifts of the Spirit or prophecy, and you've tried to be patient and you've been waiting to see it come to pass. And I just want to remind you this evening to keep holding on to that and keep being faithful and keep living righteously, keep waiting, keep being patient and trusting. Because God will honor his word, and God will work, and God will move, and God will answer. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it's like Abraham and David, the promises he gave to them. It happens long after we're gone. And sometimes, like Simeon, it happens before our eyes. But whether it happens then or we never see it, we need to continue to be faithful and continue to live right and continue to trust and wait, even if we don't see it happening, because that is what faithfulness is, and that is what God is asking of us. It's easy to be faithful when you can see it. You know, people generally don't cheat on their spouses when they're in the same room as them. I hope not. It's easy to remain faithful when they're right there with you, when you can see them. It's when you get away and you start doing other things that people end up going down those roads. But it's right, you know, sometimes when things aren't right in front of people, maybe it's been a while, it becomes more of a challenge to hold on to that thing and remember and be faithful to it. When the word, we get a word from God right at the beginning, so we hold on to that real tight. We believe in that real, like, that's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then time goes by and life happens and other things happen and we just kind of, I don't know, kind of sometimes let it drift away a bit. We need to hold on to those things. Verse 27, it says, "He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." So not only was Simeon living right and devout and being faithful, not only was he holding on to a promise or a word from God, he was still allowing God to lead him. It says he came in by the Spirit, or he came in the Spirit. Other versions say he was prompted by the Spirit or led by the Spirit. That's what it means. And sometimes we can think because we've got a word from God, we get to kind of do whatever we want, but that doesn't exempt us from continuing to let him lead. Sometimes we get something in a service or a moment somewhere, and then we kind of just kick back and relax and see, oh, I'm good. And, you know, this happened a while ago, and I'll kind of hold on to that thing. And you hold on to it, but keep following the Spirit and keep letting him lead. If Simeon wouldn't have continued to listen to the Holy Ghost, he would have missed this moment. And Mary and Joseph, they would have went home, and he wouldn't have seen Jesus. If you want to see the word come to pass, then we need to keep listening and following the Spirit. If we trust him enough to speak, we need to trust him enough to lead us. And you can see God working here again like he has through this whole story, lining things up. And he tells Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah. And then he says, you got to go to the temple right now, just as Mary and Joseph are arriving. And it says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, it says, "Lord, thou lettest thou thy servant to depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and glory, the glory of thy people Israel." He takes Jesus in his arms and starts praising God. He says, "You've kept your word. I've seen it. My eyes have seen your salvation." And this line is incredible. He sees a 40-day-old baby and he knows this is it. Salvation has come. The salvation for mankind is wrapped up in this little baby. Everything that comes with that. Salvation is in Jesus. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. And Simeon's eyes have seen a lot of things. He's been around for a bit, just, you know, with life and stuff in general. But it wasn't until he saw Jesus that he had seen salvation. And we can look and look and search and search. The song says for eternity long, but salvation is only found in Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we preach about him every week. That's why we worship him and sing about him, because salvation is in him. Even as a baby, Simeon recognized it. And again, we've seen several times in this story of the Christmas story, it's for everyone. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This is for us too. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for Israel. It's for everyone. Acts 2:38, you might have heard this before. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you," that's the Jews that were there, "and unto your children, and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The Jews at this very time were very much us and them. And we talked a lot about that when we went through Galatians. I'm not going to go into that much more. But we've seen time and time again that Jesus didn't just show up for one group of people. Salvation isn't only for one group or one people. It's for everyone, for all races, all languages, all tribes, people, and backgrounds. The Bible says, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Simeon said, I have seen your salvation. If you read through the rest, he prophesies to Mary a bit, and he tells her that there's going to be hurt and there's going to be pain for her as well. And then there's an 84-year-old widow prophetess, Anna. She comes out and she rejoices too because he's the Messiah. And there's this incredible moment at the temple that only a couple of people seem to catch and see and witness and be a part of. And as you read through the story of Jesus' birth and even his life, sometimes it seems to be the case with a lot of this. God doing these incredible things, moving and speaking and calling and working in lives, and most of the people miss it. The priests miss it. There's no record of the priest. They went to see a priest, and this is all happening somewhere in the temple. There's no record of the priest jumping in and being like, yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, this is great. What this guy's saying is true. There's no, you know, they kind of miss it. The neighbors miss it. Everyone else at the temple seems to miss it. When Jesus grows up in Nazareth, they miss it. He comes back and, oh, don't we know this guy? Isn't he Joseph's son? Why we got to listen to him? Everyone seems to kind of miss what's happening. And this has taken place at a time when there hasn't been much happening spiritually. Religion at that time had become very political. The priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these guys, they should be watching and waiting for the Messiah. And they should have known. You know, the wise men, they go to them and they find out, but they have no desire to go find Jesus. They wanted to keep their power and authority and position more than anything else. I mean, there had been a big old star in the sky. The guys had followed from the east and noticed. And there were shepherds coming in from the fields yelling about seeing angels and going to see a baby. And there were signs all over the place. Things out of the ordinary. Not just the prophecies, but things, extraordinary things were happening. There was a priest that couldn't talk for 9 months. That's a big part of his job. Wasn't able to talk. What if I wasn't able to talk for 9 months? Maybe he'd be okay with it. I don't know. There was an old lady that had a baby. You know, there's all sorts of things going on. Things at the time that should have raised some eyebrows. Prophecy was being fulfilled before their eyes, but for the most part, the people just turned their head and they missed it. They turned a blind eye. And the day we are living in, it's not much different. Prophecy is being fulfilled in front of us, and people are still the same. Just kind of turning a blind eye, ignoring it, and pretending it's not happening. Kind of go about our day not really wanting to change or rock the boat, or they, you know, twist the narrative and no one knows what's true or a lie anymore. But the message of Simeon is still the same. It's just as true today. In verse 30 to 32, it says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Salvation is still in Jesus. And I know we all know this. I know this isn't something new, and I'm not shocking you right now. It's something that we know and we've experienced. But I don't want us to lose sight of that and miss what God is doing and go another day and kind of forget about it. We get distracted by the other things that are going on in the world. Sometimes political things, sometimes life, sometimes family things or whatever. Don't worry about what other people are saying or doing. Focus on what God is doing and how he is working. Salvation is wrapped up in Jesus, his life, his death, his cross. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And we apply that to our life by repentance, baptism in his name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. His example, his life, salvation is found in him. The next little bit, next week or so, a couple days, I guess, things are going to get pretty busy for a lot of us. And we've gotten through most of it already. There's been Christmas concerts and banquets and meals last Sunday. We sat down for like 30 minutes. It was a good day. It was just crazy. You know, we have company coming in from different places. Some of us travel to see others. We got to line all the schedules up. You know, everyone's got in-laws and they have in-laws. And some of us have outlaws. And you got to line everything up and try not to offend too many people or whatever. And we got shopping to do and ordering and baking. And it's too late to mail stuff probably. You can risk it, I guess, if you want, but we'll be delivering things to people, decorating, making things or whatever, writing letters, emails, cards. You know, it's a busy time of year, and things pick up around this time of year, and as fun as all those things are, and we can get caught up in it in a bad way, and we can get overwhelmed by all these things. We can get so preoccupied with all the things that go along with the season that we miss, as the old saying goes, the reason for the season. And if we read through the Christmas story, we'll find that a lot of people were so wrapped up in the stuff going on in their day-to-day that they also missed it. Mary and Joseph, you know, they had a hard time getting a place to stay. Well, she was literally carrying the Savior of the world. Somebody should have gave up some space for them. No one did. People weren't making room for him in their lives. They missed out on the biggest miracle of all time, God becoming a man. They missed out on the birth of their Savior, the man who would go to a cross for their sins, the one who could heal their diseases and bind their broken heart. They missed out on being part of the greatest story ever told because they did not make room for him in their lives. And I don't want us to be like the ones who missed it. I don't want to miss out on the will of God or the miracle or his salvation because I didn't make room for him in my life. I want to be like Joseph and Mary, who let their whole lives be altered to make room for Jesus. They took on the responsibility to raise the Son of God. That's a pretty big weight. I want to be like Simeon, led by the Holy Ghost, and see God's salvation. And I know that this is a busy time of year. December is chaotic, hectic. Sometimes it gets annoying. Try having a birthday in there. Other things are always going on. But in all these things, we need to keep our focus on him. And I know you guys, I'm not saying you aren't. Just a reminder, if you'll allow me to remind you again, as we do every year, and every week, I think, keep our focus on Jesus. With all these other things going on, and all these, you know, things that we're struggling through and battling through at this time of year. Because if we allow it, everything else will consume our time, and before we know it, it's all over, and we miss what God is trying to do. And God is working in the middle of all that is going on. And a fellow named Simeon, he got it. And he followed the leading of the Holy Ghost, and God honored his word. And God can give us the word, but we have to let the Holy Ghost lead us if we're going to see it come to pass. That's not enough just to coast and hold on to a word. That's a good thing to do. Hold on to a word, not coast. But hold on to it, but allow him to continue to lead, because that's how it's going to come to pass. He said, I've seen your salvation. I just want to remind you tonight, one more time, that salvation is in Jesus. Let's not lose sight of that. As the days get busier and the hours get shorter, let's not lose sight of his salvation. That was just a simple little thing, not a Bible study or anything. That was probably the shortest I've ever been on a Wednesday. Everyone is happy for that, I think. my wife is. That's good. Let's pray. As we normally do at the end. Let's just take some time and praise him and thank him. Make sure that our focus is on him. And I know we got all kinds of things to do, and we're going to go home and we're going to do some of those things maybe. But let's just take some time this evening. Let's pray together. Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for this time of year. And I know it's not easy for everyone. I know there's things that we're struggling with maybe this year that we haven't in the past. I know there's weights and concerns and all sorts of things that are on us. And God, if we're not careful, these other things can consume us and we can miss what you're trying to do and who you are. God, I pray that you would help us to keep our focus on you in the middle of all the busyness or the loneliness or the whatever it is that we're going through tonight, Jesus. I pray, God, that we would keep our focus and our attention on you and keep our eyes on you and hold on to those words that you've given us, that prophecy, that word, the scripture that you've given us. I pray that we would hold on to those things, God, and continue to allow you to lead us by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that we would see salvation come to our homes. God, see salvation come to our families and to our communities. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that your will be done. God, help us to keep our focus and our attention on you, our eyes on you. God, let the things of the world grow dim. In Jesus' name, God, we love you. God, we're so thankful for what you've done. God, we're so grateful for that you came to save us. The salvation is found in you, that we've experienced it, that you've saved us. God, we're so grateful for that. I pray, God, don't let us lose sight of it. In Jesus' name, God, let your will be done. I pray that you bless, God, the families that are here, God, the homes that are represented. I pray, God, that you work and move in Jesus' name. God, let your will be done, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.